Welcome to Breakthrough Success. I'm your host, Mark Roberti, the content marketing expert, bringing you 5 new episodes every week where I and top-level guests teach you how to take your business to the next level and achieve your breakthrough. Hello, Breakthrough Success listeners. I just wanted you all to know before the episode actually starts, I've been working a little bit behind the scenes to give you something really special. So a while ago, I wrote my book, Content Marketing Secrets, which helps people create, promote, and optimize their content for growth and revenue. And I just put the finishing touches together to offer that for free to anyone who is interested. So if you want your free copy of Content Marketing Secrets, all you have to do is head over to markgoberti.com/book. Now, let's jump right into the episode. In order to have a successful business, it needs to be something that is profitable, but in order to continue on that success, continue to grow it, it also needs to be scalable, because that is where the growth compounds, you get the snowball effect, and you continue to reach more people with your message. So that's why this episode is going to focus on how we can construct our very own scalable business success formula. And who better to talk about it than today's guest, who is the founder and CEO of The Virtual Hub, one of the leading companies that recruits, trains, and manages virtual assistants in the digital marketing and social media space. She is an investor and entrepreneur with a keen interest in scalable business models, systems, processes, and automation, content marketing, and the power of inspired and empowered teams. She is also the founder of Energize Wealth, an online platform for ambitious women who want to create wealth and impact from whatever stage they are in their wealth journey. Today's guest for episode 204 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than Barbara Turley. Barbara, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Wow, I'm so pumped to be on this show after that amazing intro, Mark. Talk about energizing me before we get started. It was great.
Barbara, I'm really looking forward to this show as well. And with any business, you need to have the ability to scale it, because that's how you're going to continue to reach more people. That's how your profit is going to grow. And those are two things that matter very much for entrepreneurs who want to provide food for their families and also spread their message that they believe in so dearly. And before we get started and go into how I can create that scalable business success formula, I'm wondering if you could give us some backstory into the Virtual Hub, why you started it, what was the inspiration behind it, and how it came to be.
Sure. Yeah. Look, it's actually it's sort of a funny and inspiring story all at the same time, because I actually called the Virtual Hub my accidental business. Because I did not plan to start this business at all. There was no business plan. There was no thought process in it whatsoever. It purely came from, you know, that business you mentioned, Energize Wealth. I sort of started out doing that. And that's sort of still going on the side, but it's not my focus right now. But from doing that business, I was actually doing a lot of business coaching at the time a few years ago. And I noticed that all the clients I was coaching, it didn't matter what the business was, whether it was an online coach, a brick and mortar, you know, local business, whatever it was, they all suffered the same problem. They didn't have any time. And the time element was coming in from all angles. From a business perspective, they found they couldn't be more strategic. They knew what they wanted to do, but they just didn't have time to execute correctly. And then on a personal level, a lot of people I was coaching, you know, were working 15-hour days all weekend. I mean, the idea of taking a holiday, they almost laughed in my face because they just couldn't leave the business. So I, like everyone, had read Tim Ferriss's 4-Hour Workweek, and I sort of knew about this offshore VA thing. I had a virtual assistant myself in the Philippines who was great, and I started recruiting VAs in the Philippines purely to help out with the clients that I was coaching so that I could help them to get more success and I could free up their time a little bit more. And before I knew it, I just was getting way more calls and demand for VAs than I was for business coaching. And I was like, I wonder, is there a business in this? So it was purely solving a problem. I did a webinar online to see was anyone interested, and I just got flooded with demand. And overnight, the virtual hub was born in a very raw and kind of early stage form, in that we didn't even have a name. There was no website, there was nothing. It was just me going, oh my God, can I get 10 VAs in the Philippines to help these people? And that was really how it was born in the early days. Very messy, no business plan, no thought process, purely just demand, which is a lesson in itself, I think, for those listening.
And I definitely think that is a lesson, because there are just some opportunities that you just stumble on by accident, as Barbara did with the virtual hub, and she continued with it, and now it is something that looks like it was planned all along, with the detail that's been put into the business.
I mean, look, it's 4 years later now, and I guess, you know, although it started that way, those first few months were very messy, and, you know, and then over that first year, like, it's one thing to unearth a problem and to be able to deliver a product or a solution that caters to that problem. But what you'll find after that is that unless you're able to unearth and deal with the other problems that then evolve from that initial problem, that's kind of where you start getting into scalable businesses, where you go, okay, it's messy in the beginning, I've got product to market fit right, but the internal workings of the business are a mess. My clients have all these other problems that are stopping them from getting success. So that was a major factor that I came up against later. And, you know, now 4 years later, we have solved a lot of problems along the way in terms of clients getting success, VAs getting success, people getting success together, and then building something that is actually scalable that we can deliver consistently on. So it's 4 years in the build for that.
And I do like how you mentioned the amount of years that it took to build it. I know it did have its messy beginning, where you were just getting it out there, testing the concept, and not, like you say, the accidental business. But now it's something scalable, as you mentioned before. And I'm wondering if you could share with us a little bit, what does a scalable business model look like?
Sure. So I want to start first with, when you started the beginning of this interview, you were explaining that, of course, you know, we want to be building scalable businesses because that's how we reach more people. So you have more impact, but also you make more money. But there's a couple of other reasons. Some people often say to me, but do I have to do a scalable business? What about if I just want a nice lifestyle business? And my answer to that is always to say, people think of scalable businesses like, you know, Airbnb, like, you know, billion-dollar companies that are global impact. And yes, that, you know, that is true. But you also want to think about it in terms of, you want to have entrepreneurial freedom, right? So nobody goes into their own business to work 15 hours a day, 7 days a week for years on end, and end up bitter and upset with yourself because you never were able to take any time off. You didn't have time for your children. You know, all of these things that play into our personal lives as well. So you always want to be building a business that it looks and feels scalable, so that you can achieve a lot of different things in your life, including your own personal freedom. So that's where it would sort of start. So what does that actually look like? In my view, if you're running a business, now, forgetting the consultants out there, because what they do relies on them. But a scalable business is one where the business owner or the entrepreneur, their job is to build the company, to build the business, right? The job of everybody else, all the other jobs are delegated to other people or are systemized using automation. So if you think about it in terms of like what I'm doing today, most of my job right now is building the brand by being on all these podcasts. It's leading the team. So I don't actually do any of the doing in the business, but I'm heavily involved in the other people that are reporting back to me. And my job is to kind of create the future of this business, to create processes and systems that then can be delegated to other people, because systems run a scalable business and people run the systems. Okay, so that's a really pivotal thing for people to understand. Systems are very important if you want to build something that is scalable and gives you personal freedom to live the life that you want to live and to impact more people. Does that help? Does that explain it a bit more depth for you?
Yes. It does a really good job also of highlighting the fact that the entrepreneur is the decision maker. You're not like, obviously when you're first starting, you're doing all the work by yourself. You're like the jack of all trades in the beginning, but you have to learn how to get rid of that eventually by having virtual assistants helping you and having systems that you assign to other people and they delegate, like you delegate that work so the systems are still flowing and all some of the various tasks without you, so you can be the decision maker who is moving the business forward.
You're the conductor. You're the conductor, basically, of the orchestra. So one of the things that people, you know, out there at the moment, there's obviously a lot of promotion around, you know, learning to be a great marketer, learning to be a great salesperson. And of course, these things are really important in business. But the skill that is sort of the forgotten one that people don't focus enough attention on because it's not as sexy is you need to be a master delegator. You need to be a master process creator so that other people can pick up the baton and effectively run with it for you. Now, that's a skill that you need to hone as well, and you need to learn how to do, because we're not naturally great delegators. Majority of people are not naturally good at this. So it's something that if you focus on this as much as you focus on the other areas of growing a business, it's the one I think that will pay you the most dividends in the end, because it means that you will have something that's scalable that doesn't destroy your life in the process. Because being good at marketing and sales sometimes can mean that you make loads of money, but you end up tied in knots because you haven't done the system process team delegation part of the jigsaw. So it's a very important piece to get right.
And that's where we go back to like the fact that you only have one life here and you want to spend time doing the things and with the people who matter the most. And that's not to push business to the side. Business is still very important, but you shouldn't be doing everything. And there's plenty of things that you should be delegating and creating systems for. And there is a point, though, where you do have to hand the work, or at least some of it, to someone else.
Oh, yes.
That's just going to morph as you and increase as you have more work. You're making more revenue. You're able to hire more people. But how can we find the right people who we can trust and then properly train them to get the work done?
Yeah, so that is it's a great question that we could spend about 2 hours on, because the first thing to note with this is that hiring people is not as simple as people think, right? So I know this because I have war wounds from trying to hire the right people, you know, in the Philippines, but it really is a struggle anywhere. And I think a lot of people will interview people, look at resumes, but all of those things give you just kind of a snapshot of that moment in time and how you connect with someone. I think, look, my view is with the hiring process that people focus a little bit, they get hung up on skills a little bit too much. If you want to get success, you want to focus on hiring for the right attitude, the right character, the right fit for your culture, because skills can always be learned, but the other stuff you can't teach. So you got to hire for that, and skills you can definitely teach. Obviously, if you've got more money, you can hire for both. But sometimes in the early stages of business, particularly when you're dealing with VAs offshore, you want to hire someone who's very smart, switched on, right character, right work ethic, right cultural fit. And then, you know, skills you can sort of train for afterwards, and you can build someone into a role. And in that way, you get a more cost-effective solution in the long run. But you may have to take more pain in the beginning because it's harder to find them. You've got to do a lot more work to actually find that person. You could have to spend a bit of time with them. You may hire someone on a trial. It's always worth giving someone a few tasks to do to see how they perform, see what their communication skills are like. Because, you know, communication skills would be one of the top ones that I would hire for. Someone's ability to be engaging and to communicate with you effectively in the way that you like, so that then you can deal with the skills later.
And you bring up a really great point in the fact that the character is something that's just there in the work ethic, but the skills, there's something you could teach. Now, there's a variety of ways, video, Google Docs, different ways you can teach the skills, but you'll have to teach them even to someone who is very skilled anyway. The teaching curve may be different for someone who has a lot of skill versus someone who would still needs a bunch of time to develop it, but that person's character is something that it's a lot harder to change someone's character. So it is good to hire people who have that good character and that great work ethic. And one of the things that just seems to hold people back from having a scalable business is just the whole delegation stage, finding the right people, giving them the work. But what else do you believe holds people back from is having their own scalable business?
The number one thing that holds people back is thinking nobody can do it as well as me. And you know what? Also accepting that, yes, probably VAs may not do it as well as you, but you know what? 80% is good enough because you want to grow a business. So people hold themselves back, and they have a great habit of blaming everybody else for that, but not seeing that the roadblock is actually them. So for example, you know, if you're in the early stages of business, which, you know, a lot of people are, where you can't go out and hire some rock star in the US that, you know, you can't hire like a chief operating officer that's going to cost you $250,000 a year. So you can't hire that sort of thing. You do have to look offshore, but an awful lot of people, there's two things, I guess, that hold people back. Number one, they do get stuck in that mindset that it won't work for my business. Nobody can do it as well as me. And they're not happy to sort of work with someone over a period of time that kind of can get it 80% there, right? So nothing's ever perfect in business. I've definitely worked with my team that were never as good as me, but my job is to delegate and mentor and get them to a point where they can deliver so that I can do what I'm great at, which is build the company, build the culture, make sure I hire more people, I'm providing more jobs, I'm getting more businesses out of overwhelm. If I'm spending all day tinkering on Canva images because I'm so obsessed with how I want my exact font to be in this exact position all the time, well, then I'm just really distracting myself from the bigger vision of growing the company. So that's a major problem that holds people back. They're not willing to invest the time in their own people to get the dividends later. And I always say dividends because dividends, you know, it's an investment term. That you have to invest money now or time now or resources now in order to get paid back that later. And it's the same when you're hiring team members. There is still time that you have to invest in them, even if they're experienced. So the next thing I think that holds people back is when they do hire somebody experienced, even if they bring in a consultant or someone who is like a, you know, quite a high level, probably expensive implementer. Often that doesn't work out either because people give up too early. They're not clear about what they want, and they don't invest the time and energy in order to get the result later. That's a major problem.
And one of the things that I see also that complements the insights you gave is that when it comes to hiring VA, it's a big short-term commitment. You got to teach person the skill. You got to find the right person. But it's something that in the long term is a much better choice than going it without a VA or without any VAs in general. So it's something that you have to have a long-term outlook. And there are a lot of, like, most of these successful people, if not all of them, they have a long-term outlook for their business decisions, their investments. And by the way, business decisions, you make a lot more of those and you're able to see the business better and steer it better if you do have those VAs helping you out. But one of the things that people may be thinking is, well, with the VAs, there's payroll. And some people may not necessarily be ready to just hire a bunch of VAs or even more like one full time or anything like that to get started. So what's your recommendation for someone who wants to get in and have a VA but is tight on payroll?
Yeah, so that's a great question too. So what I find is that people, even in early stages, and you will know this as well, people throw a lot of money around for coaching programs. And I'm not, of course, coaching programs are important if you want to grow something, but I see people spending a fortune on multiple courses that they never do, on multiple coaching programs that they don't really get the results from, when the major problem they're actually facing is that they have no time to implement the stuff they're learning. So in my view, if you can't afford to bring on a VA, an offshore VA, look, I always recommend going part-time with someone, but you don't have to go to that level. We only deal in part-time or full-time staff, but you can go online and find a VA to work with you for a few hours a week. Like, I mean, I would recommend going at least 10 because you want that person to be invested in what they're doing with you. But I do see this a lot where people are, it's all about where your mindset is around the money that you do have and where you're going to invest that money, right? So I just think it's important to be very clear on the fact that you actually do have the money. You're just not willing to invest it in a person to do the work for you because you feel you should do it yourself. So there's that mindset problem again. But you are, I think somebody said to me the other day, a great quote, we overestimate what we can achieve in a day, but we underestimate what we can achieve in a year. Okay, and this is where overwhelm comes from. So if you have a person on your team, you can get way more done in a day. Forget learning stuff. You got to get stuff done in business. Now, just on that point, I want to touch on sort of, I guess it's kind of like the elephant in the room. So what happens, I've said that you need to mentor and train people and all that, but there is a fine line between, for example, let's say you get someone on your team and they just can't follow instructions, right? So I'm not saying that you spend all day training somebody how to follow instructions. If you see someone who just can't follow instructions, get rid of them, right? Because you're not going to get anywhere with that person. What I'm talking about is training is when you see someone who's genuinely interested in your business, is quite smart, is a good communicator, has high energy, and is on the ball with stuff. You can teach them anything, right? And they'll pick it up pretty quickly. And that's who you're looking for. So if you want to go hire someone and use the money you do have and allocate some of that money towards getting a rock star on your team, focus on that. Don't focus so much on the skills because they can even go and learn the skills themselves. Plenty of YouTube videos out there to teach you anything, pretty much anything.
And you bring up an interesting point where a lot of it is like the reason why some people have payroll difficulties or they think that they can hire a VA. It comes down to how they're spending their money. And one thing you could do is track how you're spending your money. And if you're saving $5 here, $10 here, $20 here, that's money you can put towards a VA. And 10 hours per week, that's not a big monetary commitment, but you do get to see the results and possibly make a profit, but you do get an idea of what it's like to have those hours free. But one of the things that I hear very often, and you were also alluding to this earlier, is that there are certain challenges with hiring VAs. There's hiring and firing, there's the communication, there's finding the right talent. So I'm wondering if you could share with us one big challenge you faced while growing the virtual hub and the powerful lesson you learned during that challenge.
Yes, that's a fabulous question because my history with hiring people on my own team, you'll laugh at this. Everyone thinks that when I'm recruiting, I find the A players in the recruitment lineup and I steal them for myself. And that's why I'm so successful with my own team. That's actually not totally true. How my team was actually built is interesting in that usually in our training programs, when I saw people going through multiple interviews and I'd seen them in our training and they're not getting chosen for whatever reason, but I just have a feeling that they've got the right fit for my culture, my whatever the character is. And I've usually taken those under my wing and they've become the very successful ones for me. So that's number one in that, you know, sometimes to work with people, if you get the right fit is a great solution. But my team are really successful today and I have a lot of really great A players, but there was a stage probably about a year ago where I got to the point where things were moving much faster. We were doing a lot more sales, you know, and things ramped up, which is a great problem to have. But the mistakes started escalating, even with my best people. And I was kind of like, oh my God, this is really painful for me. I don't know how to get this problem fixed. There were so many things going wrong. So I introduced a couple of things, but the one thing that was a game changer for me, and I now tell everybody this little tip, I introduced a daily huddle meeting. Now, if you Google Scrum Technique or huddles, you'll find a lot of information on what this is. But essentially what it means is that you bring your whole team together for 10 to 15 minutes every single day at exactly the same time. And the point of the meeting is not to go on and on about stuff. It's to unearth where am I stuck. And it's to keep everyone focused on what they're actually going to do. So the three questions every person has to answer. What have I done? What am I going to do? And where am I stuck? And the big one is where am I stuck? Because that's where you can come in and start to go. You either need to take that offline and have another meeting. You need to connect them with someone else. And then the next day, they can give an update on where how they got through that problem. Now, the trick with the huddle and where it falls down is the person leading the huddle has to be you. And it has to be a non-negotiable in your diary. So you can't be messaging your team going, hey guys, look, I'm going to reschedule today or I'm busy. You need to show up and your team need to know that if they're not on that call, that's a massive black mark against them. And you need to be very strict about it. Run a tight ship, run a tight meeting. And for me, it served a couple of purposes. We discovered that the holes and the reason mistakes were happening is that if you imagine a relay, a lot of our processes involve several people at each stage of a process, and they have to hand the baton in like a relay running race to each other. And there were times the baton was being dropped, right? And it wasn't totally anyone's fault. It was just people working in different mindsets, different times of the day. And this meeting brought us all together so that we could actually do the baton handing live on the calls and people could ask questions of each other. And it solved the problem. Like, it was a massive game changer for me. So I'm very strict about the huddle today. It happens every single day and everybody's got to be on that call. That's my one big tip.
I really like the huddle concept because you do also develop a bond between you and your assistants, and there's a bigger sense of community, which is definitely a lot harder to establish online versus like in a physical location, like an office where employees are regularly communicating with each other and checking on one another. So I like the huddle.
Just to back that up as well, Mark, sorry. But sure. So on the back of that, I mean, I am a big, massive fan of using project management tools. So things like Asana, which I'm a massive fan of, or Trello or Basecamp, or these project management tools. So I have that running as well, but the huddle backs that up. So it just covers those little holes that occur. And like, we have a lot of fun on the huddle and we can celebrate wins on the huddle as well every day and go, wow, what a great week, or air frustrations. So it's very good for bringing the team together, especially in a virtual environment where there's no office. So I'm virtual. My whole team is virtual. So works for me really well that way as well.
And basically the same idea of how the it does bring the team together and helps you guys be accountable. So that the huddle is definitely a really good idea for anyone who has a VA or VAs. And it doesn't matter how big or small your team is. That is something to get started with. Get more familiar with your assistants. And one of the things that I want to ask is, and this is the bookworm coming out of me, I'm wondering if you could share with us three books that you believe will have a positive impact on us.
Sure. Oh, you caught me on the hop now. So one book. Okay, so there's a book that I read. I sort of just opened my iPad the last time I was flying to the Philippines, bit of a long flight. So I flicked open the iPad and there was a book an ebook on there I had bought like years ago, but I hadn't actually read it yet. And it's called Built to Scale. Oh, sorry, Built to Sell, right? And the good thing about this book is it's very simple to understand and it breaks down building a scalable business into four fairly distinct and simple steps. But the interesting thing about this book is that it's done in the format of a story about this guy who's from New York and runs an agency and he's run off his feet and he goes to a friend who had built a $1 billion company before. And this friend coaches him through his journey of building, redoing his company, breaking it down and actually rebuilding it and then eventually selling it. So it's like a storybook. But you go through these four steps. And I think because of that, it makes it a much more interesting read than for someone picking up a heavy textbook that's all about, the steps to building a scalable business. So that's one book. The other one is written by the guy who built, it's gone out of my head now, Zappos. So it's called The Zappos Experience. So for anyone who wants to build a big team, for example, this book is an amazing sort of breakdown of how do you build a culture that people are banging the door down wanting to work for without having to pay people loads of money. But how do you build a culture that people aspire to want to work for? And for me, that book just blew my mind open about what I wanted to build and what we're now trying to build in the Philippines for our employees over there. And in terms of like getting people, I've noticed recently that we've had a couple of people come and apply that had researched me. They knew all about the virtual hub. They knew what we stood for, what our cultural values were, and they had chosen to come and try and apply and be interviewed in our company. And that's kind of where I want to get to with our company. So brilliant book for anyone who has a team or wants to build something like that, that involves culture, that involves a cultural element. And then I think the other book I would say, which is kind of an oldie, but one that was quite pivotal for me, is the Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Now, this is one that everyone's heard about. It's an oldie, but it was probably one of the most pivotal books that I ever read. I just found it really, it changed how I dealt with people, and it changed how I dealt with my own life and in building my own company, because it teaches you to play the long game in a lot of respects. Those would be my top three picks.
Barbara, thank you for sharing those great book recommendations. We will have the links to all of those books in markbirdie.com/E204. And for anyone who wants a book that can help them create, promote, and optimize their content for growth and revenue, you can grab my book, Content Marketing Secrets, at markgaberti.com/book. And before I wrap up this episode, Barbara, I've asked you several questions throughout our time together, but what do you believe is one question that we need to be asking ourselves more often?
That is a fabulous question. I'm going to just momentarily think about how I want to word this. I think, particularly with entrepreneurs, I think we need the question we need to be asking ourselves is, how do I want to feel every day, right? Because often we create business plans, right? We create massive business plans and visions and all these things. And then we create the strategic plans to go on the back of that. And, you know, how much money do I want to raise capital for? We get all hung up on all of these things. My view is that we get hung up on the business model we're trying to choose and all these various things. Nobody ever starts with, what kind of life do I want to live? Like when I'm in my elderly years and I want to look back over my life, what do I want to see for myself and my personal vision for my personal life? And I think if you start with that, that becomes the lighthouse by which you make all of your other decisions, including your business decisions about your business model, about how you, which game you're going to play in life. And it helps to guide your decision making, and it makes it much easier because you can ask yourself every time you're pulled to make a large decision in your business, is this decision aligned with my personal vision for my life, or is it misaligned? Is it going to take me in the wrong direction? And even if it means more money, it may take you in the wrong direction. And that's a really important thing to understand for our business lives, particularly as entrepreneurs, because we can get dragged in a lot of different directions and get confused and you know, muddled. But you need that lighthouse. And that's kind of the way I've built the virtual hub. It's something I mean, I'm a bit older now. It's something I probably learned the hard way. But the reason I've built the virtual hub the way it is because truly what I want to be is, I always wanted to be at home with my children. I have a daughter who's 21 months old. So it's very important for me that I enjoy having my children, and that part of my time is actually spent being a mother and not always being the entrepreneur. So for me, scalable business is really important. Team is really important because that guides my personal vision for my life. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And I like that idea of connecting family with the, like just having time to spend time with your family. And that is due to the virtual assistants and scaling the business. There are a lot of benefits that does give us, and I do appreciate you taking the time to share all of your great insights on the show. Anyone who wants to keep in tabs with Barbara, well, we are going to include in the show notes a link to her free e-course, The Scalable Business Secret Formula. And the course pretty much covers how exactly we can use the help of assistants and systems to scale our businesses. Barbara, I can't thank you enough for sharing all of your great insights throughout our time together. It was such a pleasure to have you on Breakthrough Success.
Thanks for having me.
How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter. To learn